Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is Colleen McCracken. Yes, we're going to be talking about family businesses today. We're going to be talking about family-owned businesses. And have you ever thought of selling your family-owned businesses, right? Colleen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me.
No, it's great. Well, you know, I got to tell you, people may not know, you've done this before.
I have.
So give us a little bit about your background, a little about your history, so that we can get into a little bit about the family business.
Great. So after many years of working for large publicly owned businesses, I transitioned to family businesses. I spent 15 years working for Thomas Moser Cabinet Makers in Auburn, Maine, both as CFO and CEO. And after leaving there in 2012, I joined Planet Dog. Planet Dog's a Portland-based company. And I joined as a partner and CEO. And in 2018, after 5.5 years of being there, growing the company and really, you know, growing the business, we decided to sell the company. And that happened in October of 2018. And we sold it to a private equity company. So as I'm sure you can imagine, there's, you know, challenges with making those decisions and really thinking about, you know, what's best for the business, what's best for the owners, and what's best for your employees.
There's no question there's a lot of factors here involved when selling, but let's take a step back for a minute. So, you know, there's a good economy right now. Certainly, you know, there's a lot of family-owned businesses that are thinking to themselves, they might be growing, they might be being approached by companies, they might be talking about selling, there might be a generational shift where the younger generation may not want the business. There's a lot of factors involved in family businesses. We'll certainly get into a lot of those. But can you kind of, you know, tell me, what are the options that are really out there for a family-owned business owner or family to make that decision? What are some of the options they truly have?
Sure, that's a great question. So, you know, in family businesses, it's a little bit more complicated than it is in a normal business. You know, the family part of the business is really about, you know, what the founder or what the current generation wants to do with the business. So a lot of it has to do with, you know, whether there's, you know, children in the business, whether there's, you know, how's the business doing. You know, as you said, the economy's great. The best time to sell your business is when your business is doing well and when the economy's doing well and your specific industry. But it's even more complicated by the fact that it's family owned. And for that reason, there's a lot of focus on what does the family want, as well as the connection that the family has to the employees. And that's because, you know, the employees are a very important part of family business because it is like a family. So there's those additional considerations make it really, really difficult sometimes to make that decision.
Well, there's no question that a lot of times these businesses have started in their garage. They started in a small location. Next thing you know, they blow up over 10, 20, 30, 50, even longer years. And there's a lot of emotional connection, right? The emotional
Absolutely.
Connection.
Yes.
And some of the workers maybe have been there from the beginning. Some of the team maybe has grown up with the organization. And they're, as we would call it, quasi-family, right? They're thought of as family, but maybe they're not biologically family in terms of it. They may have even ownership, partial ownership, or phantom mm-hmm. stock in the business, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to look at it and say, hey, I have a piece in this puzzle in
right.
terms of the business.
Right.
So when a family or owner is looking at the options, and one might be to bring in a non-family member, one might be to run the business, one might be to either do something from a business perspective or drive it, or they might bring in a consultant to help with that process, or they might merge with another organization. organization, or they might look outside to get an organization. There's a lot of different options out there.
There sure are.
Yeah, so let's start with the first. So a family business is interested in saying, okay, I have to improve my results. Because that's always the bottom line, right? True, at the end of the day?
At the end of the day, it really does come down to valuation, no matter what decision you make, whether you're transitioning the business to, you know, another generation, or whether you're trying to grow the business, or whether you're trying to sell the business at some point. But all of those factors are important in, you know, your valuation and making sure the value of your business is the best it can be, no matter what decision you make.
Yeah, and that's probably sometimes the hard part, because there's an emotional number. I think the business is worth X.
Absolutely.
And really, the number on the balance sheet or the P&L might be Y.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And so how does the conversation start about getting to that emotional disconnect and getting to the facts?
I think one of the things that is really important in family businesses is to start thinking about a lot of these issues early on. A lot of times, you know, the point at which this starts to come up is at the point in which maybe the business isn't doing as well as it should, or has been doing, or, you know, there's a change in a family member. Maybe a family member gets sick. All of those types of things can happen in a family business. And the time that you want to be thinking about really putting your plans in place is as early as possible. So I think that, you know, one of the first things that you need to consider is, let's make sure we all know what the business is really worth today. And oftentimes, you're absolutely right, there's a disconnect between, you know, the value of the business as it's perceived by a buyer versus the value of the business as it's perceived by the owner, the current owner. And, you know, those things need to be sort of reconciled early on, so that, to your point, bringing the right leadership team in sometimes is the right thing to do. Making sure that the organization is, you know, is doing all of the things it needs to be doing. Make sure the succession plans are in place. Make sure your governance strategies are in place. You know, all of these things build value in a family business. And ultimately, regardless of whether you're transitioning it to the next generation or selling it eventually, they matter as much as the financial return.
And we're talking with Colleen McCracken, and she's a partner with Quad Group. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour. Your background is not only CEO, but you've also been a CFO.
That's correct.
So you understand the financial side of the business. And again, we're talking with Colleen McCracken. We are talking about HR considerations when selling your family-owned business. So as a CFO and looking at the numbers, there are different valuation methods, and we're not going to get into all that today. But the bottom line is, just from a high-level perspective, if you are a business that have assets, that's one thing. If you are a service business, that's another thing, right, in terms of being able to look at goodwill in terms of versus an asset part of it.
Correct.
So at a high level,
sure,
how does somebody look at that and say, okay, I need to look at what the real valuation is?
So from a pure financial standpoint, and as I said, value is built on many factors, but financial obviously is probably the most important. Everything is a factor of what we call EBITDA, which is earnings before interest and taxes. So, you know, you're really looking, and in a lot of family-owned businesses, there's a lot of expenses that are taken out of the business that are not necessarily required to run the business. So you're really trying to true up, what is my real bottom line EBITDA before any of the, you know, additional things that come out as a result of being family owned. When you take that number, that's truly the number that gets used to calculate value. And valuation is looked at, you know, from a forward thinking perspective. So if I annualize this for the next, you know, 5 years, what would that return? And that's essentially how a family business, or any business for that matter, is evaluated from a financial standpoint. And again, there are many other factors, but that is the key way to measure. I will also say that in our case, when we sold Planet Dog, part of it was also our revenue, and it really depends on the industry that you're in. You know, in our case, you know, and it also depends on the buyer and what the buyer's trying to accomplish. But I would say that, you know, revenue, margin, EBITDA are really the three factors that are used in financial valuation.
When you're working with organizations, do you find that they truly know the numbers?
It's a great question. I think typically they know their revenues. You know, they understand, you know, whether they're growing, whether they're declining, what their increase in sales is. They absolutely know their top line numbers. I, you know, not as much some of their other numbers. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, that we haven't talked about, you know, my new business, which is Quad Group, but we are a family business consulting group. I have three other partners. And, you know, when we are looking at a family business that wants to decide one way or the other, whether they want to keep the business, whether they want to transition the business, whether they want to sell the business, you know, we have to get them to understand that it isn't just the top line. If you have a top line number, that's great, but you're not returning anything at the bottom line, that's not necessarily going to be overly attractive to a buyer. And it's certainly not something that you really want to be working on that, even if you're planning to, even if you're transitioning it to the next generation.
You know, it's interesting you say that people are looking at either what is the valuation of the business. How does an owner, in terms of a family-owned business, get everybody on board with that thought process, especially if there's a whole family involved?
It's oftentimes very, very difficult to do that. I think everybody, especially in a family business, everybody has sort of their view of what they'd like to see happen in the business. At the end of the day, it does come down to the founder's interests and what they really want to happen in that business, whether they want to really leave it to their children, whether they want it to continue, you know, for eight generations, whether they want it to, you know, whether they want to cash out because that's their retirement. It really has so much to do with all of the factors that go into that founder's feelings. The employees, as we talked about, is another key part. A lot of founders want to make sure that the business continues for the benefit of the employees as well as the family. So it's difficult, but again, must be done as early as possible. I can't stress that enough. The time to think about this is not when, you know, when the founder is sick or something happens in the business. It's when, you know, the founder has gotten the business going, you know, and even if it's the second generation, wherever it is, it's time to really make sure there's alignment in where the company's going and what the plan is for the company. I think the other thing is making sure that's communicated to the family members is key, because oftentimes, you know, you have family members working in the business and you have family members that own the business. And those are two really different things, but oftentimes they get lumped together. And as time goes on and those things do not get dealt with, there's just challenges that happen because there's assumptions made, there's decisions being made based upon a certain direction, and all of those things, you know, are best done when there's planning involved.
We're talking about planning, obviously, meaning strategic planning and or succession planning that go along with that, including the operational side, right?
Correct.
The operational plan.
Correct.
So, you know, I guess that's where it starts, right? Getting a good strategic plan, getting a good succession plan. To be honest, I don't see a lot of family businesses that talk that language.
I totally agree. I think what happens a lot of times is the, you know, initially the founder is getting the business going, and multiple, you know, family members may be coming into the business to help with getting it going. And then, you know, I think at some point when, you know, the next generation comes in, again, there's not, you know, the founder at most times is not really interested in stepping back anytime soon. So they don't see, you know, they don't want to be planning for, you know, what happens when they decide to either step away, or because they're really, really engaged in the business. And a lot of times they're busy growing it. So they're not thinking about these things. But honestly, my experience is the more you do that upfront work as soon as possible, and it is difficult and it takes time. That's the other part, is these, you know, these plans. So you mentioned it. It's the succession plan. It's the strategic planning for the business. It's, you know, it's the governance planning to make sure the business is succeeding. Those things take time to build. So the sooner, and I, you know, we're working with, you know, clients that are, you know, small, and we are working with clients that are a little bit larger. The earlier you start, the better your plans will be, and the more opportunity you will have for decisions around the business.
There's no question. I have been told many times that when you buy a business, you should already know what you're thinking about from an exit strategy.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, that's not necessarily the case with most.
Right.
We're talking with Colleen McCracken, and we're going to be right back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. We'll be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
It's 3 p.m., and you just ran out of ink. You have a report due end of day, which is 2 hours from now. You can't push the deadline because end of day means end of today, not end of tomorrow day. What now? Go to your local Staples store. Staples now has an even bigger selection of HP ink and toner. In store, in stock, and at low prices every day. So you can get your ink fast for less. End of story.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. JobsInME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsInME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsInME.com. That's JobsInME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by cmacareer.com and maine.dalecarnegie.com. Today we're talking about, really, if you were going to have a family business, you were thinking of selling, what are the HR considerations? You know, Colleen McCracken is with us. She's a partner with Quad Group Consulting, and we are going to be talking to her today about, well, really, what do you do in this situation? You know, Colleen, in the first segment, we were talking really about, hey, the challenges that a family business has in regards to even thinking about selling, about getting their books ready, about getting all that stuff ready. So let's assume at this point, for sake of argument, that, hey, things are ready. We feel pretty good. It's never perfect, right? I think you'll agree. It's never, ever perfect.
Right.
But things are pretty good. And the decision to sell has been made. Okay, we've kind of looked at it all. It's sell to either the family internally. It's sell to an outside partner. It's sell to a venture capital. Whatever that sell is. What now?
Great question. So once the decision to sell is made, and to your point, there's a lot of factors that lead into that. You know, I think the process then becomes a matter of finding the right buyer. And there's lots of different types of buyers. There's private equity companies. There's, you know, another company that's maybe acquiring you because they're doing something similar to you. And so, you know, ultimately, it really comes down to what are your goals for the sale? Do you want your employees to stay in place? Is that important to you? You know, are you looking for the best price? Those are all factors that go into deciding who the right buyer is. So I would say, and the other process is, you know, what process are you going to use to sell? In our case, we used a business broker who basically helped us put together what's called the book, which is really the summary of your entire business. You know, how are, you know, what markets are you in? You know, what do your numbers look like? You know, how long have you been around? What's your core competencies and key differentiators? Those types of things. And, you know, we went through what's called an auction process, which honestly, the words don't really describe it well. But essentially, it's going to market and looking at potential buyers in the market and seeing who would be a good fit for either, you know, acquiring your company, merging your company, whatever that decision is. And also the auction price process allows you to get the best price because you have multiple buyers coming to the table. One thing I've learned in this process is that, you know what your company's worth based on the buyers. A buyer will dictate what your price is. So if you have multiple buyers that you have the option to choose from, then you have, you know, options for making sure that you get the highest price if that's important to you. In addition to that, you know, you can also, there's other factors. So price may not be as important. Like I said, maybe it's making sure your employees stay on board. Maybe it's making sure your family members stay involved in the business. Maybe it's, you know, making sure you don't move the location, whatever those factors are. Those are things that you can make sure happen through the process.
So that's fine. I get that. So tell me about the process itself.
Well, so the process itself is a matter of, we engaged an investment banker and we chose someone who was in the pet industry.
Because Planet Dog was obviously a pet company.
Exactly. So Planet Dog was a designer and developer of pet products, mostly dog toys. So we thought that the most important thing was likely, or you know, and honestly, you know, the most important thing for us at the time was making sure our employees were taken care of, making sure that the owners were taken care of, making sure that the brand was taken care of. For us, the Planet Dog brand, it was important that a buyer kept the brand name. We did not want someone who was just going to absorb the line into their own product base. So these are all the considerations that you use. And so when you engage an investment banker, and in our case, like I said, we use someone from the industry because they already have a knowledge of the industry. They already understand these things. They also know who the potential buyers are going to be, just because they know where the synergies exist with your business and with somebody else. So in our case, like I said, you put together all the information about the company. Obviously, there's very severe NDAs, you know, so that you ensure that, you know, none of this information is completely confidential. And that you then start to share over time pieces of this information to determine the interest level of certain buyers. And in that process, they'll come back and they will say, here's what we think. You know, here's some preliminary things we think. We think here's what we think the value is. Here's what we would anticipate to do with the business. Here's from a branding perspective how we plan to brand the line. So you start to get more and more information as time goes on, and the process of elimination starts to, you know, come down. So, okay, this buyer's not going to fit. This buyer's not going to fit. And this is through multiple conversations. And honestly, by the way, this process can take anywhere from 6 months to 2 years. So it's a very long, honestly grueling process. And, you know, through the process, you're constantly, you know, evaluating a lot of those different pieces. So, you know, I think that those are the key factors in making sure that, you know, that you're aligning yourself with the right potential buyer.
Of course, all during this time, you have to make sure that you continue to have strong sales, continue great profitability, right? So that nothing changes the trajectory of the business.
That's
right?
Such a great point. I'm glad you brought it up, David, because it's very easy to become consumed in the sale process because there is a lot of work to it. And at the same time, you have to continue to grow your business and manage your business the same way you always have. Because the process takes so long, you know, in some cases it's quick. You know, it really, really depends. But in our case, it was a year. And so we sort of fell in the middle. But during that entire period of time, you have to continue to, you know, you have to continue to operate as if nothing else is happening for your employees, for your customers, for, you know, for every bit of your business. And that's hard. That's a, you know, when we think about human resource challenges, that's a very, very hard process to go through.
Well, I think that's where I want to go next, is really to discuss. So, you know, there's a limited number of people who know this, right? You're talking about typically the owners, maybe the VPs or C-suite level know about this, or maybe general management in, and they have employees under them who are thinking long-term about their positions, the company, have families and everything. And so talk to me a little bit about the HR side and the challenges that sometimes can be faced when, you know, you find about situations that may be affected by this.
Absolutely. And I would say that you're right. The employee consideration starts at the very, very beginning. When you're deciding whether, you know, what your transition plan is going to be, you know, employees are always, you know, one of your key considerations. In our case, when the decision was made to sell, it then became all about making sure the employees were taken care of. And you're right, there's confidentiality here. From an NDA standpoint, you can't even talk to your employees about this because there's no, you know, you don't, that cannot get out.
Well, it can affect the brand, it can affect sales,
absolutely,
it can affect everything.
Absolutely. So you have to be, you know, you have to be really, really careful. And it's hard because you're living in two worlds to some degree. You know you're heading down this path, but at the same time, you can't really engage your employees. So you're working through a lot of this, and sometimes you're gathering data too. So you have to be really, really careful about, you know, not staying behind closed doors a lot, not, you know, making sure you're not asking for things that someone would say, why are you asking me for that? Those types of things. But at the same time, you know, in your heart that you are doing what's right for them along the way, given the decision that's been made. And my opinion was, you know, I need to make sure that no matter what happens in this process, they are taken care of. And so I think, you know, when the time comes where you now are getting close to the closing of the sale, this is when you put together all of the types of information that any employee would ever want to know. I basically sat down and said, okay, if I were an employee and I'm about to be told that we're, you know, selling the business, what on earth are they thinking about at that point in time? And let me make sure I know the answers. And, you know, as hard as it is, I think being very well prepared and making sure you have answers to those questions is key.
We're going to talk about that in the next segment, because that's exactly what, you know, the negotiating, the communicating of the sale and all that is part of it. But I just want to jump back to the succession planning and strategic plan. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and today our guest is Colleen McCracken. She's a partner with Quad Group. We're talking about, hey, have you ever thought of selling your family-owned business? I'm your host, David Chulo. So, you know, we talked a lot about having this strategic plan and succession plan being succinct and working our way through it. When a decision's made to sell, do you do an additional or new strategic plan? Do we adjust that strategic plan? Do you adjust the succession plan? What do you do at that point from your experience to align the organization to that? And how does that work in making sure that everybody knows but doesn't know in this NDA world?
It's a great question. And typically, you know, the focus at the time that you've decided to sell, you really don't know at that moment in time whether a transaction is going to take place. You just don't know. So at that moment in time, you're sort of marching down the process of going through that, but you don't know what's going to happen. And so therefore, you can't really make too many A, you can't do too much in terms of communicating with employees because that becomes a roller coaster ride for them. Not to mention the fact that you need to continue to run your business through this process. And as we all know, our employees are key in making that happen. So I think that's a big part of it. And also from a succession planning standpoint, you can't do much with that yet either. Because if in fact, you know, in many situations, if somebody can't reach a good agreement, if an agreement can't be met, or, you know, oftentimes, as we talked about earlier, the price isn't what the owner is hoping for, then the business can continue to operate. And so I mentioned living in two worlds, and you really are. Until such time as I got to be honest, you know, it really is about signing on the dotted line, because anything can happen up until the day. I mean, there were things that we were still dealing with prior to, you know, the day before we closed on the transaction. So you really have to, you have to treat it delicately. And you really can't make too many changes to your strategic plan. By the way, the buyer is interested in your strategic plan. They like your strategic plan, which is one of the reasons they're interested in acquiring you. So, you know, you can't deviate from that too much, because that's the reason that they're there at the table in the first place. And in addition to that, you know, it is just about being really careful through that process.
Yeah, there's no question that there's a lot of unknowns and a lot of changes that could occur, but you don't know if they will. And as we said before, we want to make sure that the business continues at a great pace to maintain the success that you've had. So that makes perfect sense. Well, we're going to be right back, and we're going to be talking about the negotiating and communicating the sale. We're talking with Colleen McCracken. She's a partner with Quad Group. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. We'll be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. JobsInME.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsInME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsInME.com. That's JobsInME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Life's never perfect, but as realtors, we know living it in the perfect place can make a big difference.
Imagine
hiding from your screeching children in that spacious walk-in closet, watching the neighbor's dog poop on the freshly sodded grass you negotiated during closing, dropping your cell phone in the toilet of the spa-like five-piece bathroom again. So get the perfect place to house all of life's imperfections. Get Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then,
hey!
The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com. and maine.dalecarnegie.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. We're talking with Colleen McCracken. She's a partner with Quad Group. Colleen, what is Quad Group?
Great question, David. So Quad Group is a family consulting business, family business consulting firm. There's four of us involved. We approach family businesses in a multidisciplinary way. And by that, I mean, you know, we focus on the family side of things, which therefore is the succession planning and any types of conflict resolution, as well as the business aspects of the family business. And, you know, we believe that they're all very interconnected. And so, you know, we are helping family businesses with understanding how to improve their bottom line, you know, business improvement, leadership training, leadership development, those types of things, as well as making sure they have good succession plans in place.
And that, of course, leads into the decision to potentially sell the business, which is what our topic is here today about. You know, Colleen, it's interesting, you know, as we said before, we've gone through kind of the decision to sell, preparing for that, the process of finding the right buyer. Okay, hey, you know what? We're going to assume at this point we found a buyer, somebody who is truly interested and we think fits the needs of the business, and we feel good about it. Now, it's time to finalize, negotiate, as well as, you know, once that's done, how do we communicate this and how do we do that? So talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a very important part of the process. So, you know, I think when you're thinking about employees in particular, it's really about making sure that through the process, you know, once the sale takes place, that there's a great transition. And so, you know, oftentimes with sales, there's this period called the transition services period, which is oftentimes a transition services agreement. And that is where the new buyer is now starting to learn about the business. And so, you know, as you can imagine, employees are involved in that complete transition. It's also the opportunity for the buyer to get to know the employees a little bit. And in that case, you know, oftentimes wants to offer them, you know, jobs. And if in fact, you know, sometimes you can negotiate that they all end up working for the buyer. But other times it's really more about, I need to understand your business a little bit more. I want to understand what each and every one of your employees does. And so you work through that during the transition services agreement. But before we get to that, there's the announcement. And honestly, that to me is the part that needs to be done extremely well. In our case, you know, I basically, you know, stood up in front of the employees and announced that, you know, we were being acquired. And as I said to you earlier, one of the challenges with making sure you're prepared there is the first reaction is, what does that mean to me?
Right. So I'll whiff them. What's in it for me?
What's in it for me, and what's going to happen to me? And, you know, so you have to have answers to that. And in our case, we did. We knew exactly what the situation was going to be. We knew that every single one of them was going to have the opportunity to work for the new company. And we knew that, you know, this is what's going to happen with your benefits. This is what's going to happen with how long you're going to be with the company. This is, you know, all of those things were determined ahead of time. And so, you know, I will be honest, emotionally, it's a tough time because you're really living in two worlds. You're making sure you're prepared for your employees and, you know, you want to make sure that it goes well. In our case, the buyer came on site. I spoke with the employees first. I told them what was happening. And then later that day, the buyer came on site and they also, and we were coordinated in our discussion. They also spoke with all of the employees. And I think the other thing is to keep an open door. I mean, you know, the buyer was there for a day and then the next day, you know, they were gone. They came back oftentimes through the process of transitioning, but my door was open the entire time. And if there was something that I hadn't thought of or that, you know, somebody, a special, you know, need that somebody had, then I was on top of that. That to me was the most important thing during that transition. And you know, it's hard. You know, it's hard because it's we had a very tight group of people. And, you know, the world sort of as they knew it in terms of just Planet Dog and just, you know, we were a fairly small group. We only had about 20 to 25 employees. So it wasn't like we had a very large group, but it was you know, tight and intimate, to be honest. And so the world as they knew it was going to change some. But I think we talked about it. You know, we talked about it a lot. And I had a lot of one-on-ones through that process. And, you know, people got it. They totally understood why. And then my goal was to make sure that they were very well taken care of. And I feel very good about, you know, some of them went to work for the buyer. Some of them had offers and decided not to. And, you know, so everybody makes a decision in what's best for them. But what we did make sure of is that they, you know, they financially were in a good place to be able to make some of those decisions.
And we're talking with Colleen McCracken, and she's a partner with Quad Group. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour. So the sale's done. Okay?
Yes.
It's now after the sale time. There's this period of time after the sale's completed that people start watching the changes happening. Because change is going to happen. That's just the truth. How do you handle that from an HR perspective when, you know, best laid plans don't always work exactly as planned?
True, true. You know, I think that we had a very open communication with the buyer. And, you know, I think we did a very good job of defining a lot of that early on. So I wouldn't say that we had that many surprises in that regard. Now, as I step back, and now it's been, you know, we sold the business in October, and now it's July. So we're getting close to a year. And, you know, we are always looking to see how they're managing the brand, how they're, and some of those things were defined in the purchase and sale agreement, but you know, they obviously want to have some leeway, too, in how they manage that. So there's been some, you know, some changes along the way that, you know, I mean, you sort of have to let go of your baby a little bit. And, you know, the great news is they're doing great with the line. I mean, they're continuing to maintain the brand name. They're exposing it to, you know, customer segments that we were not able to just because they have all those connections. So we are seeing some, you know, some growth and development of the brand, which excites us. I mean, that's one of the reasons we ended up where we were. It's still hard because it's, you know, it's no longer really your baby. But, you know, we, like I said earlier, wanted to make sure the brand was protected. And I feel like they're doing a very good job of doing that.
We're talking with Colleen McCracken, partner of Quad Group. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM. We'll be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsandme.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs and ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Today's economic environment presents many challenges. It seems as though it's harder than ever to navigate the investment landscape to seek out adequate return and manage risk at the same time. ClearPoint Financial is a financial advocate for those who need assistance making complex decisions about how to manage their wealth. They inspire their clients to make informed decisions through education, communication, and service that exceeds expectation. Call Michael Toole at ClearPoint Financial, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay long sleeve tees are just $29.99 each when you buy two or more.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today we've been talking with Colleen McCracken. She's a partner with Quad Group, and we're talking about selling your family-owned business, the HR ramifications, and just in general what it's been about. Colleen, this has been a fascinating discussion about it because, you know what, as a family-owned business myself, and having just gone through the process selling one of the business that I own, you are spot on in terms of making sure that the business is ready to be sold, that you negotiate, that you have the right conversations, and that you are prepared for when you actually talk to employees about how that works. Having said that, as we wrap up the show today, what are the two or three things that you want to make sure that somebody really takes away from today's show?
Great question. So, I mean, obviously the first one, and I've probably hit on it quite a few times during this process, is plan ahead. You know, in family businesses, it's even more complicated by the fact that you've got the business, you've got the family, and you've got the ownership. You know, you want to make sure that you are, you know, planning all of those different pieces. And that's what makes family businesses unique and special. Plan for those ahead of time. You know, start thinking about your plans early on. You want to have as many choices as possible. And the way to make sure you have all of the choices that you could possibly have is to plan early. You know, what you don't want to be doing is finding yourself in a situation where you're forced to sell. And that's just not, you know, that's not going to get you all of the goals and priorities that you have. So you really need to plan ahead. You know, I think you have to make sure you've considered all options. I think a lot of times family businesses end up, you know, going to a sale. And, you know, that's not always the only choice. I mean, there are lots of different types of ways to transition your business. One thing that a lot of people talk about now are ESOPs, so employee stock ownership plans. You know, there's those types of things are all on the table as a family business thinks about its transition. And, you know, the earlier you think about that, the better off you're going to be in having many choices to make, or good choices to make. So, you know, make sure you've considered all the options and don't be in a situation where you don't really have as many. And then finally, you know, get help. You know, I think a lot of family businesses try to do everything on their own. And oftentimes there's a lawyer involved, which is critical for putting together a lot of the legal documents. But you also, you know, we think of family businesses as, you know, the family, the business, and the ownership. And you really want to be managing each one. And you want to be planning for each one. And that's what makes, you know, family businesses unique, and it also makes them more complicated, to be honest. So get help. You know, oftentimes I'll hear, well, it's costly. Well, it's also costly not to do it. And I think many times spending the money to make sure you're in the best possible place you can be is nothing compared to the return that you're going to get, regardless of what you decide to do with the business.
Yeah, there's no question that having support, having help through the process is critical because, hey, you're still running your business. And we say it all the time, you're better off having somebody who's done it or knows how to do it versus somebody doing it yourself. Would you give yourself your own haircut? Possibly not. Would you, you know, do those type of things We do that because we need that support. Would you go in front of a judge and be your own lawyer? Not necessarily, right? So those are the things that when people think about it, do what you do well, which is run your business and allow others to come in and help that.
Exactly.
I've known you a long time, and you have worked in the family business space a long time. You used to be chair of the Institute for Family-Owned Business. Of course, now I'm chair of the same thing. And then also, you work at other boards here in the local area. Tell me a little bit about that. Give people a feel for your background.
That's a great question, David. And as you know, I am very passionate about the Institute for Family-Owned Business. I have been involved with the organization for 15 years. And, you know, it is a great educational opportunity for family businesses that are going through a lot of these types of challenges. And also a place for you to meet others who have gone through it as well. And so if you're a family business operating in Maine right now and you're not part of the Institute for Family-Owned Business, you definitely should be. And that's because there's so much networking that takes place there. And you are not alone. You are absolutely not alone in dealing with what you're dealing with. And I'm also, very passionate about education. I've been involved in many different educational roles in the past in terms of chairing my kids' school board, things like that. But I'm also now a member of the Junior Achievement of Maine. I'm on the board. And, you know, Junior Achievement is an incredible organization that, you know, helps teach financial literacy to students of all ages, beginning from kindergarten all the way through high school. And, you know, JA is an organization that's really preparing our kids for financial literacy in the future. And as we all know, we have, you know, shortages of help and finding, you know, great people in the state of Maine. And, you know, oftentimes schools do not focus on those things. So they're too busy teaching all the other skills that our children need.
Well, right. We've had Michelle Anderson, who's the president of JA, on, and she did a great job explaining it. And of course, people can go to the website, hrpowerhour.com, and check it out. You know, as we wrap up here today, I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking about what is really an important topic that doesn't get a lot of press, which is the whole preparation and process regarding selling or preparing to sell your business. You're obviously a part of this new group. Congratulations, the Quad Group. And people can go to hrpowerhour.com right after the show. They can click on your information, your website, and get information about you. But if they want to get a hold of you quickly, what's the website?
The website is www.quadgrp.com. You can also find us on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Perfect. Colleen, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much, David, for having me.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Are you a do-it-yourselfer? Hi, this is Ben Ford from Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group with your Tip of the Week. We are often asked by our clients whether they can save money by handling commission responses themselves and then bringing in lawyers if the case goes to litigation. The answer is yes. Of course you can save money by investigating and responding to the commission charge yourself. You just need to be careful that you get it right the first time. Once you respond to the commission with your version of the facts, those facts cannot change throughout the litigation. If new witnesses or new documents come forward during the litigation, the plaintiff's attorneys will point out to the jury that the story has changed. We've seen good defenses devastated and juries ruling in favor of plaintiffs just because the defendant's story has changed over the course of the litigation. So while you can save money by doing it yourself, it might make sense to call a lawyer in to review their response and make sure you have all your bases covered. If you have a commission response and you want someone to take a look at it, call Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.